that comment from Barry Trotz, I find really interesting. Just the fact that, as he said, he thinks you have an understanding of how you put together a team that can compete and win when it's really tough. And I'm just going to ask you this. Is that formula the same now as it was 15 years ago, as it was with the Devils, as it might be 5 years down the road? Are the principles the same?
First of all, Jeff and Rich, it's a pleasure and delighted to be on, and hope that each and every one of you is staying safe also, as you hope to myself. To answer your question, I have no reservation in saying that whatever the philosophies or sort of disciplines that are today, in my opinion, have been in the past and will continue to be in the future.
Lou, from the trade deadline to the end of the regular season, your team was 5-6-3 with the second lowest points percentage of any playoff team down the stretch. What changed?
Well, I don't know if anything changed. I think that certainly whenever you make a trade and you bring in different players and also you have an injury or two, things have to take a bit of time for the chemistry to come about. And also we were in a playoff position where we really weren't threatened, so that we could do some experimenting, you know, as far as the lines and see what works best. And our coaching staff did a tremendous job with that, so that when you do get to the playoffs in the last couple of games, you're pretty comfortable with what can work and cannot work. Yes, we weren't playing as well as we would have liked. There's no question. It certainly wasn't done intentionally. But I think circumstances, you know, have that as the reason. But the most important thing is be playing well at the right time. And as you can see, I think that that has happened.
Lou, how different is this team that will face the Lightning compared to last year's Islanders team?
You know, every team is different. I think the common denominator with the team is the character within that room. And the additions, you know, who are here, have a similar character, you know, have similar traits, that it's the end result, the most important. The name in the back really is only on the shirt. It's all about what each and every one can do, and they accept their roles that's given to them. They're defined by the coaches, and it's expected, and they expect it out of each other. And I think that was pretty evident in the last two games we played with the Bruins, because you can notice that when we were on the road, certainly matchups are a lot different, and ice time is different than when you're at home, where you get certain types of matchups. And players, no matter what level they're at, whether it's the first line, second, third, or fourth, fortunately for us, we don't have any numbers. It could be any one line out there at any given time, and we get the same results. And they accept that, you know, within the framework of what's asked. So I don't know what more we can ask of the players when they give everything they've got and they buy into what's asked.
Lou, I spent my teenage years growing up in Long Island. I spent a lot of time on Hempstead Turnpike, probably too much time, quite frankly. So I know that area very well. And before you came on, Jeff and I were talking about the Nassau Coliseum crowd. And it really was like a European soccer crowd. Like, I haven't seen an NHL crowd, and we haven't obviously had many crowds here in Canada, but I haven't seen a crowd that fervor, that fever pitched in a long time. And it must be an advantage for you guys, right? I mean, if nothing else, the players have to be so motivated to want to play. Can you give our listeners just a sense of what that atmosphere has been like?
Incredible. And it's unexplainable until you experience it, and then you just can't believe it. But it's a constant. They're passionate, as you know, and they demand success. We could be ahead 4-1. If we have a bad power play during the season, we'll get booed. So you have to love it. But they came ready to be the seventh player on the ice, but whatever way you want to look at it, and they certainly were. They keep the adrenaline going. If you're tired, they make you feel like you've got plenty of energy. They were just tremendous. You couldn't ask for more. In my opinion, it's the best fans that I've experienced. Fortunately, going forward, the new facility that's being built will have the same Coliseum atmosphere as far as the way it's been developed to try and, take away from what has been experienced here. But they were outstanding throughout these playoffs, but have been that way since I've been here as far as encouraging the team and supporting the team.
Have you learned anything about Barry Trotz now that you've been working with him? I'm not going to ask you that surprised you, because I'm sure, obviously Barry's been around for a while. But is there something maybe you appreciate more about Barry now that you've worked with him than you maybe didn't appreciate as much as an opponent?
Well, first of all, I don't know what there isn't to appreciate about Barry, whether it be an opponent or being, on the same side. He is, first of all, a tremendous human being, a family person, and just respects each and every individual, no matter, what level they're at, no matter how old they are. So we start off with that base, and that defines the person. As far as the coach, his work ethic is second to none, his commitment to detail, and he uses his staff, to the maximum as far as giving them the confidence of contribution at any given time, and is a player's coach, but has a line. There's an old saying that with players' coaches that sometimes players do not differentiate between kindness and weakness. Well, because of the respect that Barry has of the players, that's never an issue, despite being a player's coach. He can be hard when he needs to be, and also can, withdraw when it's necessary, because sometimes it's needed to take a step back. So in saying that, I don't know how better you could describe an individual, and it's been a pleasure to work with him. I had never worked with Barry before. I knew of him, knew of his reputation, but I can't say enough about the job he's done for our organization and for this team.
Lou, your hockey resume speaks for itself. Between your success in the NHL, your international success, your college success, I would not ask a question sort of to say, like, did you feel you had to prove yourself in the Island? Because that would be silly. But I do want to ask you, upon leaving Toronto, was the challenge of the Islanders like a big motivator? Was part of the incentive for you to sort of see if you could do something one more time that you had previously done in your career?
Well, first of all, it's not about me. What transpired was I was extremely comfortable with whatever transpired in Toronto, and would have stayed in the role that they asked me because I made a commitment to do that. When I heard that the Islanders, that is in particular Scott Malkin, the owner, had asked Larry Tannenbaum if he could speak to me, in other words, out of respect, I did so. I had no really thought process other than that. And after I met Scott, for the second time, and heard of his vision, heard of his commitment, and what he wanted to do, and the autonomy that he would be given, and the support, I thought that something could be done, with the roster that was here, and maybe with some additions, but certainly there was some work to be done. So it became a challenge. But not because of what went right or went wrong in Toronto. When you love the game and you still have the passion and the help to do the energy that's needed, why not? And that's exactly what I said to myself, why not? I haven't looked back since.
Lou, I wanted to ask you about a couple of players in particular before we let you run, Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac. What did they bring to the Islanders? And you knew these players, obviously. What made you so certain they would be a good fit for this group?
Well, first of all, you know your own group. You know the personalities. And you know the type of people they are. And I've always said over the years that whenever you make a transaction at the deadline, you have to believe your team has the chance to do something. If not, you should not make that transaction, and just for the sake of doing it. And I felt that what we saw with our team last year, you know, certainly with the addition of Pageau, who, you know, has become just an exceptional player here, a catalyst, that we could do something special. Of course, when we lost Anders Lee, that was somewhat of a step back. Everybody did raise their game, but I thought that if we could add the right piece or pieces, that we could give ourselves a better chance. And, you know, you have to have someone who will fit in the locker room, fit in whatever role is asked of him, no matter what role they came from as far as in the team where they were with. And that's something you have to be very careful of. And I've learned that by experience, is sometimes you can make a trade for what you think is going to fit into a role, but that player, not through his fault, cannot fit into that because he isn't used to that. He might be used to 18 or 19 minutes, and then you bring him in because of, you know, his talents. You know, you want to fit him in a line that might be 8 or 10. It's difficult for him. So all of those thoughts went into the two players that we were bringing in, first of all, of their character, of their, you know, commitment to the game and to everything that they could possibly bring. And, you know, I knew both of them well. Travis certainly drafted, actually signed him to an 8-year contract during my days with New Jersey. He's actually in the last year of it, and was one of the best all-around players. And up until the trade deadline, he found himself killing penalties on a power play, out there at the last minute of the game, whether you're for or against in New Jersey. And Kyle, I actually saw grow up. Kyle went to St. Peter's High School in New Jersey when I was with the Devils, and saw him play a lot of hockey, including in high school during his draft year, and also junior hockey in our facility at the Prudential. So I knew a lot about him. And then when he went off to college and then decided to sign in Anaheim, and then when I stepped down and Ray came in, Ray Sherrill made the transaction for him. I certainly had an opportunity to see him firsthand. Naturally, playing across the street here, especially this year, playing against each other 8 times, you can, you know, spend a lot more time, and all you really see are your own division. So I knew enough about his character and the edge that he plays with, which, you know, I feel, you know, could have helped us. And he's done everything we've asked of him. Never beeped at where he played, what line he played, what side of the ice he played. Let's say it was Travis. Travis has played since he's got here. He's played left wing, right wing, center. Kyle has played left wing, right wing. He's played on a couple of different lines. Travis has played on 3 different lines. So that those type of people fit in immediately. The locker room is the key. They notice who they are despite their talents. So they trust them, they believe in them, and they want to have success with them. And that's what these two players did. And we also brought in another player who hasn't played other than a couple of games, Clayton Colburn from Ottawa, who has won a cup, ironically, with Tampa Bay last year. You know, brought us size and strength and also tremendous character, work ethic and practice. You know, at his age, the young guys see what he does. So his value in with his presence and his demeanor and accepting, you know, his role you can't put enough emphasis on, and that's what brings success. It's teams that win championships. Individual players will win games.